Say good morning and extend greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Certainly is good to be here with you this morning. My heart has been blessed as we have worshiped together this morning in praise and adoration to our Lord, our Savior, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who makes it possible for us to be together today and to worship the great I Am. And like Brother Willie mentioned, we are privileged to be a part of Gospel Express Ministries, have been the last 6 years full time. And my wife, Frida, travels a good bit with me when we go to prison and tours and stuff like that. And our youngest daughter, Lori, is with us this weekend as well. By the way, we are heading from here, we're heading to Delaware, to a prison for a seminar. Dolores Baylor there will be there 3 evenings. What we do quite a bit is seminars in prison. We will do, actually there's 2 seminars that we offer. Thank you. One is dealing with forgiveness, broken relationships, rejection, and leading people to forgiveness. The other one is dealing with unresolved anger. And interestingly enough, we were there at Dolores Baylor last year, just following this benefit auction weekend. And we did the anger seminar there called Conflict Resolution. And several months ago, I contacted the chaplain there and said, you know, we'd be available to come. And which seminar do you sense would be appropriate for what the needs are there at your institution at this particular time? And she responded, Dolores Baylor is a women's facility there in Delaware, is what it is. And she responded back and said, you know, I believe the anger seminar would be what we need just right now, because a lot of ladies are dealing with anger. And, you know, we look around in our culture, our world today, yes, there's a lot of unresolved anger out there. And anger is a cause for so many people to do things that they never imagined they would do. And it's not unusual for us to hear stories of men and women in prison that said, you know what, it was my anger, my unresolved anger that got out of control, and that's why I'm here, because I did things I never imagined I would do. And but the good news is, by the power of God, that bondage of anger can be broken. We can be set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is hope, and we have a message of hope to bring to those that are back behind the prison fences. And you know, I have had the privilege for many years to be involved in prison ministry. And as I reflect over those years of ministry, I'm so thankful that the power of God that was working back years ago, and 20, 30 years ago, as I was beginning being involved in prison ministry, that same power of God is still available and is still transforming hearts and lives today. And it's really a miracle. And you know, really, it's not about me or Gospel Express, or may I say, any one of us here today, but it's about God and His Holy Spirit working and moving, drawing hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And people come in surrender and brokenness, and they meet Jesus at the foot of the cross. The transformation of God transforms their hearts and gives them a new hope and gives them fulfillment, gives them the peace and the joy. You know, God has created all of us in a very unique way. He's created us with that desire to worship Him, with that desire for a relationship with Him. And unless we have that relationship, there's an emptiness and a void on the inside. And so many people today out there are looking for that fulfillment. They're looking for that purpose. They're looking for that meaning in life, but they're not finding it. You know why they're not finding it? Because they're looking for it at all the wrong places. They're looking at, you know, in drugs, alcohol, addictions, and success, pleasures, and the list could go on and on here in America. That's what people are looking for, fulfillment, for meaning, for purpose, and they're not finding it, and heading down the wrong direction. And oftentimes, it's a very common statement that I hear of people in prison. You know, I never imagined the direction I was going in life would end me up here at this place. You know, people don't plan to go to prison. Usually not. There may be a few exceptions to that. In fact, some years ago, I had the privilege of serving as a volunteer chaplain in the state of Florida. Actually, that was back in the early mid-90s. And, you know, God has a unique way of moving us from opportunity to opportunity, I might say. And, you know, all of us in our life, our journey is very different. You know, I don't know how many people are here this morning, but all of us, each one of us, our journey in life is very different. But you know what? The common theme, the common purpose, the common goal that God has for us is that we ultimately be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why so? And as we are conformed to His image, His likeness, guess what? Our lives will bring honor and glory to God. You know, like they say, it's not the showcase that gets the honor and glory, but it's what's on the inside. It's the love of Christ within each of our hearts, flowing out, reaching out, touching hearts and lives, touching other people. You know, you and I are God's hands, God's feet, and God wants to use each of us in our lives to bring honor and glory to Him and to demonstrate the love of Christ to the world around us. You know, and I mentioned a moment ago the fact that, yes, our journey in life is very different. And for us, I sometimes have wondered why this is the case. In our life, for Frieda and me and our family, we have, it seems like the Lord has moved us from location to location. And you know what you think about people that, you know, do that. They move from one place to another. And, you start thinking about that. Well, what do people think? And let me just give you a little bit of a, you know, I don't do this very often. And I'm not sharing this to say that, you know, we've got it all together. No, we don't. We've made many mistakes. I have made many mistakes. I've done some things that I wish I wouldn't have done. But you know what? As I see the hand of God in our journey, in our life, ultimately, even because of my shortcomings, because of my failures, the grace of God. We don't stay down. When we fall, we fail. We don't stay down, but we repent. We ask God to forgive us, and He lifts us up and continues to give us direction and guidance in life. In fact, I want to this morning, in just a moment, look at Philippians 3. It's been a very challenging chapter to me this past week of the Apostle Paul looking at his reflection of his life and his journey as such. And I want to, in just a moment, draw from that as well. But, you know, in our journey for Frieda and me and our family, we have we were born and raised in Ohio, Holmes County, Ohio. And of course, I know many of you would know my brothers that are in Montana, Myron and James Wingert. And so maybe that kind of puts a connection there. And, you know, I'm often asked, you know, if Myron's my older brother, I say, well, that's fine, you know, if you want to think that way. But actually, I am his older brother. But Myron's got a few more white hair than I do. But mine is kind of going the other way here. I'm kind of losing it. And my wife said, don't worry about the white hair, just worry about keeping what you've got. So anyways, we're trying to, you know, whatever. You know, it doesn't bother me that much. But anyways, we were, yes, Frieda and I were both from Holmes County, Ohio. Lived there for the first quite number of years of our married life. And then we sensed the call of God leading us to eastern part of North Carolina. We were asked by our home congregation to be a part of a church plant outreach in eastern North Carolina. And we went, and we were there for 5 years. And after 5 years, we just sensed the Lord closing doors. So it was like, okay, what do we do? And in those 5 years there in eastern part of North Carolina, we really sensed the Spirit of God working, moving in our hearts and lives, and also in the lives of people that we had the privilege of ministering to, reaching out to there in that community. And but it was not without its trials. In fact, we had many trials there. And you know, I found myself flat on my face before God many times and say, God, where do we go here? This is not what I had planned. But God, you know the bigger picture. God, where are we going with this? You know. And you know what? God has a way of showing up when we find ourselves flat on our face before Him. And so through that period of time there, by the way, may I say, that was a preparation time in my life for God, for what God had in mind for the next step. You know what? God takes us one step at a time. And you know, I believe that God asks us to simply take that step when He opens the doors. You know, you and I don't see the bigger picture, but God does. I don't know about you, but you know, I kind of like to see the bigger picture. Okay, we take this step, and then this is going to happen, and then we do this. But you know what? We don't always have the privilege of knowing that, do we? But what God asks us to is to simply be faithful. Take that first step, and He has promised that His grace would be sufficient. He has promised that He'd never leave us, never forsake us. And we claim, we hang on to that promise. And yes, when the difficulties come, we don't give up. We don't give in. But we continue to press on. The Apostle Paul said, it's not that I have already attained, but I keep pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God had a plan. You know, it was a death of a vision for us there in Eastern North Carolina. We envisioned God working and moving in hearts and lives and a church being established there. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But God had a plan. And only eternity will reveal God's greater purpose and plan in that. But we trust Him. We trust Him. And from there, you know, it was amazing. God opened some doors in North Florida for a prison ministry there. Now, I've got to tell you, prison ministry wasn't a part of my plan. We lived there in the eastern part of North Carolina, and I had the privilege of going to Columbia, South Carolina, being involved with Gospel Express in a crusade there in Columbia. We went back into CCI, the oldest prison in South Carolina. Dark, dingy, clanging doors. It just wasn't a real good feeling. That was my first time in prison. I had a good day, though. You know, I had the privilege. And you know, isn't this amazing how God works? He gave me the privilege to lead a man to the Lord. We went back into lockup, and we shared there. And the first person I walked up to began sharing. God had prepared his heart. He had just come to prison. But God had sent other people along the way in the county jail to speak to him and to share the gospel message. And you know what? He was ready. He was ready. God had prepared him, drawn him. And I was privileged to be the instrument for God to use right then, right there. That gave me a lot of, wow, energy. And what a blessing to be able to do that. But, you know, I came away that day thinking, you know, prison ministry is great. Wow, that's wonderful. See people come to the Lord, and that's very exciting. And I'm sure glad that God calls all those people to go back into those prisons and minister, because that's sure needful. But you know what? I'm very happy in where I'm at. You know, God, that's okay. You know, I'm okay over here, you know, just so I don't have to go back into that prison. That's, you know, I'd be just fine with that. Well, you know how things go. About a year later, doors were closing there in eastern North Carolina. God was opening some doors there in North Florida. And actually, what it was, Gospel Express was starting a volunteer chaplaincy program there in North Florida and had just put in a local board there. They were looking for a volunteer chaplain to come and to be involved. And so we as a family went to visit, and the Lord made it very clear to us as a family that this is the step we have for you. And, you know, isn't it unique the way that God prepares us? You know, the institution that I was to serve when we went to visit, the institution I was supposed to work in, was a brand new institution. And walking in there and just looking at the place is like, wow, is this a prison? It's almost like a resort. But you know what? God used that old CCI prison in Columbia, South Carolina to prepare my heart to be willing to go to North Florida there. Not only that, but many of the experiences that we went through, difficult experiences, God used to prepare my heart to minister there in North Florida. We were there for the next 4 years or so, and just saw the Spirit of God working, moving in a tremendous way. And, you know, again, God calls us to be His instruments, to be His hands, to be His feet. And it's not about us. It's not about what we can do, but it's about God. And, you know, as I reflect on this weekend here, the efforts here, right here in New Holland, up here in New Holland at Mel's Stables there, what all happened with the cattle auction that provides the finances to buy the Bible study courses, that brought over $76,000. Wow, that'll buy a lot of Bible study courses. Although we do go through a lot of them in a year's time, it also buys the seminar materials that we need to we take into prisons. And just what a tremendous blessing. And the auction yesterday, you know, I didn't hear a number, but it just seemed like, yes, God brought the items in through donors, and then God brought the buyers in too. And it's just a tremendous blessing. And I know many of you were involved in one way or other, and just thank you for helping out the weekend there and making it possible. It really does make it possible for us to continue to go and to share in prison. And so my involvement in prison ministry has been for quite a number of years. And we were there in North Florida for over 4 years, and now the past 19 years have been there in Western North Carolina, where we're at now, Columbus, North Carolina, actually. And for many years, I was involved in the prison crusades with Gospel Express, and also taught seminars in prison just here and there. Also involved with church ministry on the leadership team of our home church, which is United Covenant Mennonite Church. And but now the last 6 years or so have been full-time with Gospel Express, heading up the prison ministry aspect of it. So that kind of gives you a picture of kind of where we've been as a family. But I mentioned a moment ago, you know, in our journey, and yes, all of our journeys in life is very different, but our goal, our purpose is to bring honor and glory to God. And interestingly enough, for us, it meant from one location to another, from Ohio to Eastern North Carolina to Florida, and now back to Western North Carolina. And, you know, sometimes I think about that, and it's like, well, what do people think that you move so much? Because, you know, and sometimes we, you know, people that move from one place to another, it's like, well, you know, what's wrong? Can't they sit still? Are they trying to get away from something or whatever? Well, that was not our case, really. I guess the more important question is, you know, what is God asking you to do? That's a more important question, maybe a more appropriate question. You know, what is God asking you to do? And it may very well be that God wants you right here where you're at. And yes, He'll take you one step at a time as you continue to serve Him right now, right here where you're at. And but it may also be that in your journey, God may ask you to leave and go to another location. That could very well be. But at the same time, I don't believe that is necessarily necessary you know, for us to do that. But the main thing is that we're open to hearing the voice of God. And certainly as we take that step of faith in walking into that open door, God will open even greater doors, far beyond our expectation. And in that, he calls us to walk in humility. To walk in humility. You know, and certainly God's plan, God's purpose for us is that we be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of a verse in Romans 12 where, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And he also tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is God's will for our lives? It is, I believe, that we are transformed by the Word of God, that God changes the way we think and aligns it with truth, aligns it with his Word. You know, the world system, our culture around us is proclaiming a way of life. God says, don't follow the world system, but follow truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And yes, it has been a blessing not only this weekend to see people coming together, rallying together, for the cause of Christ, but also in the prison crusades and the many volunteers, the many singing teams. What a blessing to have the Schlebaughs with us there for the first time in South Carolina. And that was a blessing. And plus we had the added benefit and blessing of being at the same hub in South Carolina. We have four different hubs that we work out of. And so it was a blessing to have the Schlebaugh family with us there, the same hub that I was at serving as well, and gave us opportunity for interaction there. Philippians chapter 3, I'd like to to get the setting here, let's read chapter 3 here. I'd like to draw several thoughts from this here this morning. Basically, what we have here, Apostle Paul giving encouragement and just a reflection on his journey, his life, and I believe some very practical advice here. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I count all things. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold on what? On that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you oft, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Verse 13 catches my attention there, where the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before me, that are ahead." You know, God calls us to move forward, to reach forward, to press on. You know, and in verse 12 there, he says, "It's not that I have already attained, but I keep pressing on." You know, if the Apostle Paul, in fact, he wrote this, I believe, the latter part of his life. You know, if the Apostle Paul said, "You know, it's not that I have already attained, I keep pressing on, I keep going forward," how much more do I need to have that same commitment as well? Wow, I don't know what you think of the Apostle Paul, but in my mind, he's a pillar, he's an example, he's a person that is a stable, strong believer, an example among the believers. And yes, I would think if anyone is to be looked up to, yes, we could certainly look up to him. But he says, you know, don't look to me. Yes, follow my example as I follow Christ, but I keep pressing forward. It's not that I have already attained, but I keep my focus on the goal, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be all that He wants me to be. And the exhortation here, I believe, for all of us is to reach forward to those things that are before. And as I was reflecting on this, the question came to me, you know, what may be some hindrances that keep us from being all that God wants us to be? What may be some hindrances that will hold us back from moving forward that God is wanting us to do and we are holding back? What may be some of the hindrances? Well, in example here that Paul shares, you know, he is addressing that. And he says, you know, this one thing I do, I forget the past. I put the past behind me. You know, sometimes there could be some past failures that keep us from moving forward. And you know, as you look at the Apostle Paul's life, you know, who was he before he was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus. Do you imagine, you know, would you think as, you know, Saul of Tarsus and what he did in persecuting the church, do you think he would have some regrets of his past? Probably so. Probably so. But he said, this one thing I do, I put the past behind me. You know, sometimes past failures, past bad decisions keep us from moving forward. But the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was Saul, the persecutor of the church. But something happened on the road to Damascus there. God got a hold of him. Jesus revealed himself to him. And I believe right there, Saul of Tarsus was transformed. His life was forever changed because he met Jesus face to face. And he said, "Lord, who are you?" And yes, he went on into Damascus there and was blind for 3 days. And I believe he prayed. In fact, God spoke to Ananias and said, "Go and lay your hands on Saul." Yes, he is praying. And I believe that God revealed himself to Saul at that particular time. And I believe that there was a lot of repentance that Saul did. And God reached down, transformed him, gave him hope, gave him meaning. And Paul is now saying, reflecting on his life, "You know, I put the past behind me. Yes, I have regrets, but I put it behind me because God has forgiven me." And you know, sometimes in life, those past failures, those past mistakes, those past bad choices that people make, they find it difficult to put them behind them. They find it difficult to really, truly accept the forgiveness of God and the love of God and forgive themselves as God has forgiven them and to move forward. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, "This one thing I do, I put the past behind me and I press forward." So past failures can be something that keeps a person from moving forward and being all that God wants him to be. Another one can be past accomplishments. Yes, successes of the past. And Paul is here reflecting on that in verses 4 through 6, where he more or less says who he is as a Jew. Quite an impressive pedigree, you might say. And I mean, he was in the eyes of the Jews, I mean, he was a model Jew. He was born into the right family. He was a part of the right tribe of Israel there. And not only that, you know, he gave himself to study. He was taught under the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the law back then. And yes, zeal. Wow. I mean, this guy, he took it very serious. And he was going to, I mean, he was working against the way of Christ. He was working against the early church there. And his ambition, his zeal obviously was misdirected. And, you know, in prison ministry, I find people sometimes that'll say, "Well, you know, it doesn't really matter so much what you believe, but just so you are very sincere and very convinced, and that you do believe. Doesn't matter so much what you believe, but just so that you do believe." Well, that's not according to Scripture, is it? Because there's many people out there that are very sincere and believe a lot of stuff and are very sincere in what they believe, but they are misdirected, and they're believing in the wrong stuff, the wrong thing, whatever. And that's, I believe, is a case here of the Apostle Paul. And really, what he's saying here is, you know, I was deceived, really. I didn't know the truth. And he is saying, you know, all the past accomplishments as a Jew, keeping the law to the finest, and, you know, being up here, he says, I count that but loss. For Christ. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. And so, yes, that was a part of that transformation from Saul of Tarsus to Apostle Paul, and the transformation that only God can do. You know, sometimes in our lives, you know, there are accomplishments that may keep us from moving forward. You know, it can be a lot of different things. It can be successes in business, a career, or whatever. And you know what? It could also be in ministry, too. And that happens sometimes when God has used a person in a particular area of ministry, and God has blessed them and used them in a mighty way. And sometimes people lose focus, and pride begins to well up. But you know what? Just because God has used a person in one particular area of ministry doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to always continue. It doesn't mean that way. Sometimes pride, self-sufficiency comes in, and people lose focus. So past accomplishments can be a hindrance to reaching forward and continuing to walk in and to grow. You know, I've found in the Christian life, and I believe really this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to here, the Christian life is a continual growing experience, isn't it? Yes, continual growing. And I don't think we ever come to a place where just a plateau where we can just fold our arms and say, wow, this is great, you know, I have achieved and I'm just going to coast into heaven now. I don't think it works quite that way. We need to keep pressing on. And yes, it is a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. We keep pressing on and forward. Some time ago, there was an older minister in his 80s. As he was nearing the end of his life, he sensed that, yes, life was... He was soon to be called home, but he said, you know what? The devil continues to try to distract me, even in this stage of life. The battle is real. The enemy is real. So yes, we keep pressing on, keep pressing forward. So what are some hindrances? Past accomplishments, business, career, it could even be relationships or job or whatever. Or yes, the list could go on, I'm sure. And then in verse 3, another one I believe that could be a hindrance is in verse 3, it mentions evil workers. And in verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. What's he talking about there? I believe he's referring to evil workers, dogs that could be maybe implying some vicious wild dogs, dangerous or whatever. And I believe really what he's talking about here is the Judaizers, really, I believe is what he's talking about here. People that are misdirected, they're very religious people, but they're misdirected and unfortunately do not embrace the pure word of truth, the pure gospel message. And you know, as I was thinking about that, Satan doesn't really care which ditch we're in or which ditch people are in. You know, whether it's the religious and misdirected and over here in this ditch, or whether it's the, oh, well, nothing matters and, and over in the other ditch, you know. Satan doesn't really care, just so you're not on the straight and narrow. That's really the way it is. And yes, sometimes Satan comes as that angel of light. And yes, sometimes he comes as that roaring lion seeking to devour. And but you know what? Probably, for the most part here in America, what we've seen is Satan coming as that angel of light. He comes with a lot of truth, but a bit of air mixed in. And that is very dangerous. So it is very important for us to know the truth, to have our hearts, our minds filled with the truth of God's word, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How does that happen? As we fill our minds with the truth of God's word and allow God to change the way we think and align it with truth. That is the transformation. So he warns against the evil workers that would have people misdirected, that have get off course. It may be just a little bit off course. But sometimes when people start down that course of just a bit of compromise, one way or other, the next thing they know, they end up down the road somewhere where they never imagined they would be. It often begins in such a very small way. Now, the challenge here that the Apostle Paul gives us here in verses 13 and 14, he says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Basically, the call is for us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to transform us. And, you know, in verse 10, that is a very powerful verse there. You know, and just really we sense the desire of the Apostle Paul, which I trust is each of our desires as well, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, we desire to experience that resurrection power in our lives, do we not? That is our heart's desire. That is what we long for. That is what we want. But you know what? How are we going to get it? You know, look at what he said. That I may know the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, suffering? Really? Oh, that I may be conformable to his death. Isn't that what he says there? Being conformed to his death. Oh. Well, we die to self. The Apostle Paul also said in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When we die to self and we say yes to God, that's really when we will experience that resurrection power in our lives. You know, and many times we don't like to think about that, do we? Because it's hard on the flesh. That's just the bottom line. And I'm just being honest. That's, you know, that's what I struggle with. Yes, it's very real to say no to the flesh and yes to God. But when we do that, we experience that resurrection power in our lives. We become that instrument for God to use for His honor and for His glory and for His praise. And you know, when we come to the end of life, we'll hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And may I say, friends, this morning, I'm sharing from this passage. God has been speaking to me concerning this very thing this past week as I was meditating here on the third chapter of Philippians here. And yes, how beautiful it is when you and I choose to allow God by His Spirit to work in and through us. We say, We surrender our will to the will of God, and then we experience that resurrection power. And the affirmation there, verse 14, I press toward the goal. We press forward. And in verse 15, it says, therefore, let us, as many as are, the New King James uses the word mature. I think the King James says perfect. But the concept is, as we grow in our walk with God, yes, there's a maturing that happens. And he says, you know, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even that to us. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives guides and leads us, shows us the areas that we need to, yes, repent of, change, whatever. And we continue our journey and our walk with him. And verse 16, an encouragement. Okay, where you're at in life, how you've experienced God working, continue to walk in that and allow God to be God and in your life and continue to press forward and to press onward. And, you know, notice the believers, as believers, we need each other to walk alongside of us. I need brothers and sisters back home to walk alongside of me. Yes, even as a leader of the church, I need that. I need that fellowship. I need that encouragement. I need that sense of direction of a brotherhood, brothers and sisters working together. That is the concept of the church, really. And he is really addressing that as he talks about that in verses 17 there and 18, maybe 2. And then in conclusion there, in verse 20, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God calls us to live a life that is honoring to Him. You know, remembering that, yes, we're only strangers and pilgrims here. We're just traveling through. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, God has put us here on assignment. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our citizenship is in heaven. And as you and I are here as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're here to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're not here for our own glory or our own praise, but we're here to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is encouraging us to do just that. Our citizenship is in heaven, and yes, the best is yet to come. When we meet Jesus, when He comes and calls us home, whether it's one by one or the clouds break and Christ returns and calls His church home. What a day that will be. But may we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And certainly the call of God is for us to keep pressing forward, reaching forth to those things that are before. God has a purpose, a plan for each one of us here this morning. And it is that we keep pressing forward, reaching out to those around us, representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world around us. May God give us wisdom to know what that looks like in each of our lives. Again, our journey in life is very different. For me, yes, it's been back behind the prison fences, but for many of you, it may not be. But God has a purpose, God has a plan, and an opportunity for us to share the goodness of God to those around us. Our families, those that we meet on our jobs, those that we meet in the store or wherever it may we be faithful in representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love to us. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the transformation that You have wrought in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, thank You for this congregation here this morning. God, I pray that You would meet us at our point of need. Lord, You know each of our hearts. You know each of our challenges. You know each of our circumstances. And Lord, we thank You that You're God and that You meet us at our point of need. And we thank You for what You have done and for what You will do. Lord, I just pray a special blessing on this congregation and on the leadership of this congregation. Thank You for them and thank You for what You have done right here in this community through these dear people of Yours. Lord, continue to use them in Your service for Your glory and for Your praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Turn it back to our brother.